Class, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And it's November 20th, 2012. Hi, how are you doing today? We've got that big holiday coming up on Thursday, Thanksgiving. And although I'd like to think that we all wake up every day being thankful today and this week, it's an especially good time to think about all the things that we are grateful for. And as usual, there's a lot of turmoil going on all around the world, in the United States and everywhere. And sometimes it's easy to lose focus of what's really going on and the things that we should be grateful about. A lot of us are talking about food right now, especially those of us who are vegan and vegetarian, because Thanksgiving is such a turkey-focused event. And I just want to remind all of us to be grateful for what we have. There are so many people that don't even get to have enough food to eat every day. So a lot of us do, a lot of us who are promoting healthy, organic, delicious, plant-based food actually have the privilege to do so. And I have to remind myself of that and be grateful. And we're going to be talking about a lot of fun things today, and I'm going to start with my first guest, Ann Dinshaw. She has a book out called Dating Vegans, Recipes for Relationships. We'll be talking about that today. She's a lifetime vegan and author of Dating Vegans. Her other books include Healthy Hearty Helpings, The Four Ingredient Vegan, co-author with Mary Beth Abrams, and the newly released Apples, Bean Dip, and Carrot Cake Kids Teach Yourself to Cook, co-author with her mom, Freya Dinshaw. Her career as a rowing coach takes her to a variety of locations throughout the United States, where she embraces the challenges of everyday life with focus, persistence, and grace. Anne enjoys sports from swimming to wrestling. She has been fortunate to become friends with many men and experience romantic dating adventures with the help of non-vegan friends who appreciate her vegan cuisine. Anne is building her stone and timber frame writer's cabin in western New York State. She's committed to building bridges as a vegan in a culture that depends heavily on animal products. Welcome to It's All About Food, Anne.
Karen?
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing great.
I have so many questions for you.
Okay, good.
So let's start talking. Now, you know, you come from this vegan dynasty, and I'm kind of curious about that. So can we just get started about your early family life? Because you come from a line, it's getting longer, of vegetarians and vegans, which is kind of new in this world. And
sure.
And your parents,
we can talk about that.
Your parents started the American Vegan Society, and that's been going on for so many years, doing wonderful work. So my first question is, what's it like as a child growing up vegan?
Well, I was one of those kids who made a lot of friends easily, so I really didn't share that I was vegan with most people until we happened to be eating something, and then I would just mention that I don't like to hurt animals. And my friends were cool with that. So I like to think it wasn't all that bad being vegan as a kid in the 70s. There weren't so many of those vegan foods available, so it was a lot more difficult to find vegan things to eat when I was out.
Sure.
And I saw a lot of other people who were vegan kids really struggle with it, socially being different, and that was kind of sad.
Now, you went to public school?
I did go to public school.
And there wasn't a lot of social strange pressure around food? Kids can be so so mean, so
I think
judgmental.
So much of it depends on your personality.
Yeah.
I tend to be someone who gets along with people. I don't antagonize them. And if they have a difference of opinion, I respect that they have a difference of opinion. I feel comfortable voicing my own opinion, but I don't try to make enemies. Whereas some people, their personality is just not quite as harmonious as mine. And kids can be cruel, and they will find a little chink in your armor and pick at it. And I just don't return that type of evil. Right. So people would get tired of trying to find things and move on to something else to talk about.
Yeah, I'm glad you're saying this because people ask me, and they ask other people that are vegan, you know, how do you do it? How do you deal in social situations, especially with holidays coming up? And I think it's exactly what you said. It really comes down to, you know, who we are as a person. It's not really the food. That's just something that brings attention to who we are, whether we have a strong foundation in ourselves, whether we have integrity, whether we believe in what we're doing, and whether we can just let it roll, whatever it is.
Yes, being vegan's always been a very important part of my life, but it hasn't been like the big banner. I don't wear a big tattoo on my forehead saying, I'm vegan, or anything like that. I usually don't even wear vegan T-shirts. I let people come to me and say, hey, you look great. What do you do? And then I can tell them that I'm a rowing coach and that I'm vegan and things like that, because then they already want my information as opposed to me throwing it at them.
Now, to some extent, you have like this vegan DNA. And now I know your mom, and I had met your father, but I didn't know him very well. And I just know them to be very, very peaceful people.
Yes, well, their story of their romance is actually one of the short chapters in my book, Dating Vegans.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to share too much because I want people to buy the book. But the title of their chapter is The Great Persuader and the Gentle Decider. And so my dad was a vegan and my mom was vegetarian when they first started corresponding. And so my mom shares a little bit about how it was more difficult at that time to become vegan.
I bet. I mean, they were groundbreakers, really.
Yes. And really, if they didn't marry each other, where else were they going to find a vegan or vegetarian at that time? There were so few of them around.
And there wasn't the internet.
No, but my dad ran a personal ad in Peace News, which was a pacifist weekly newspaper published in England.
Yeah, well, I read that chapter and I enjoyed reading it because I didn't know that, and it was a really lovely story.
Thank you.
Okay, so now you've grown up and you're sticking with it, and you've written this book about dating vegans, and it's really an interesting subject. And like I mentioned before, it really hits on, it really isn't about the food, even though it is about the food. Relationships are hard, period. And just finding common ground, finding a way to communicate, finding a way to respect each other is really the challenge all humans have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just throw food into the mix and it just makes it so much more challenging. So you shared a lot of somewhat intimate kind of stories in this book.
Well, I tried to keep it rated PG-13.
It definitely was.
At the same time,
there were things between the lines.
if you're smart, you can read into it as far as you'd like to go. If that's the type of novel you'd like to have, then you know, keep reading in that direction. But I want to let people just draw their own conclusions of what they would do in that situation, and present them with a lot of different types of men, types of people that I dated, and then also a lot of different couples who shared their stories where someone was vegan and someone was not. And you never know who you're going to fall for. We don't know what's going to happen next in our lives, but when that does happen, then you have some ideas of how you might be able to handle a situation gracefully.
Yeah, I know what's worked for me and what hasn't worked for me. I'm someone who pretty much goes with what fate will put in front of me and my intuition. I did try internet dating for a while. I was on veggiedate.com for a while, and it's interesting the way you can check off the things that you want and the things that you don't want. But I found everyone that I met from that, it was a disaster. A lot of strange people.
I find that the things that I have in common with people go so far beyond being vegan that when I made my list, I put vegan down. It was on my list. I thought it was pretty high on my list, but then I counted there were 15 other qualities I look for before vegan.
Yeah, it's hard, though, because it's a vegan goes beyond food. It's a philosophy, and there's a lot of underlying current that makes it harder to be with someone who isn't when you are, even though there are many people that are, and I know them, and I've done it, although I'm not, I'm fortunately, I have a vegan wonderful partner, and he's a great cook, and I'm one of the lucky ones. But it's this, when you know, for me, I don't know how it is for you, but I've been a vegan not all my life, but for decades. And it's hard to see animal food. I see the cruelty and the environmental devastation. And when you really want to connect with someone on that close level and you see them doing something that you may be so at such a deep level so opposed to, it's a big challenge.
I think it's important at that time to remember that you are a wonderful person even before you became vegan. And I think that's the unfortunate thing that many people forget. They become vegan and suddenly they expect anyone that they're going to partner with to have that same level of understanding as they have come to. And maybe they've been vegan for 3 years, maybe it's been 30 years, but what were they like 4 years ago or 31 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they were still a very dateable person. They still had a lot of great qualities, and they were just waiting for something to bring that out in them. And so if I find somebody who's intelligent, athletic, and healthy, which are my top three things I look for, then I have a lot of things in common with them, and then they might be more interested in trying a dinner with me. And maybe they never had a vegan meal before. Some of the men that I talk about in the book that I went on dates with, I was the first vegan they had ever eaten a meal with. So if I had just written them off as being, well, you're not vegan, I'm not going to hang out with you, then they would never experience what a vegan meal is. And you never know what's going to be the catalyst to get someone thinking.
Well, absolutely. And you mentioned this in your book, but is there an undercurrent of wanting to make everyone vegan?
Well, in my book, I purposely for 1 year did not date anyone who was vegan. So I had to find men who were not vegan. And I wasn't trying to go out and convert them, but I was really trying to understand them.
Yeah.
And to see, you know, could I really like these men for who they are, and in some cases for who they might be willing to become?
You're a good person.
Thank you. Well, I also think it's very important to be inspired to be with someone, and so I had to meet many men on first dates and then decide, you know, did I want to pursue this? And when you're writing about someone, that's pretty deep. To be inspired to write about them, and I wanted all the stories to have a slightly different angle to them, so I wasn't writing the same story over and over again. So I think I was really blessed with finding a wonderful variety of men who really taught me a lot too.
Can we talk about your career as a rowing coach for a few minutes?
Sure.
So that requires a lot of physical stamina and skill. And how does your diet help with the physical activity? I'm assuming it does.
I think it does. I don't stray from being vegan on purpose. Occasionally I may accidentally eat something, or I may try something for research purposes that are not vegan, and I really don't feel as good if I had that bite of cheesecake so that I could figure out how to make a vegan cheesecake that someone would like. I think it's important for me to occasionally do that type of thing because I have no background in what things taste like that are not vegan. But I also get some of the similar effect if I eat vegan junk food. If it's a whole lot of cake and cookies and fried food and things like that, I just feel kind of sluggish and I don't really understand how people can do that to their bodies every day and have the energy to perform, especially as a high-level athlete.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I think we have some pretty powerful minds, and we can push the human body very, very far. Mm-hmm. And people don't even know how good they can feel. I like to say that a lot.
Yes.
But I also think people lose some vitality where if they're eating junk all the time, they don't know, their body kind of gives up on getting things out, and it may take a few decades to ultimately feel the, what's the word I'm looking for, to ultimately experience the downside of what you've been doing for so long. But when you're eating healthy and you put some junk in your body, the body just goes, that's not going down, it's coming out now.
And the really sad part is sometimes someone will try being vegan, and their bodies are so used to the junk and they've adapted to the junk that they eat a vegan meal or they eat, you know, a couple of days of vegan food and they don't feel as good because their body suddenly is trying to get rid of all this other things that it's been storing up. And so I've got one page in there about the farting.
That was really funny. But it's so true.
It is. It's important to understand that, when a non-vegan eats with a vegan, they may experience giddiness, increased energy, and flatulence because they're eating more plant-source fiber. There may be adjustments in their digestion. And so everybody's got to give them a little space to adjust.
Yeah, it was amusing to read that, and I guess when you're trying to get to know someone, you want to be on your best behavior. But I've read all kinds of humorous anecdotes about how when people are dating, like when men and women are dating, there's never a problem with flatulence, and then when they get together, all of a sudden, the guys tend to let loose. But it is true that when you change your diet, any diet, if what goes in changes, what goes out is going to change.
It is. And, if you're in a relationship and the person is really meant to be with you, they will find ways to take a quick walk outside
mm-hmm.
or things like that. And you just have to be understanding about it. I also try to make sure that I don't feed them anything that they wouldn't like. So I make a point of asking somebody if I'm going to make a meal for them. I ask them what are their favorite vegetables and what kind of foods are they allergic to or what things do they not like. So they're at least eating foods that they're willing to try and excited about.
And if anyone's making a meal for someone, shouldn't they ask those questions anyway?
You would hope so.
Yeah, but they don't. But
I've very, very rarely been asked those questions.
Mm-hmm. It really makes you more sensitive. You're going to date someone, they know nothing about you. Do you let it out of the bag right away?
Definitely not.
Why not?
It depends. If we're going to eat somewhere on the first date, then they're going to find out by the end of the meal. I might not tell them that I'm writing a book about dating vegans. I would usually save that until the second date or something. I want somebody to like me for me first.
Mm-hmm.
And being vegan is one quality amongst so many. And our culture is just coming around to being very accepting of being vegan. But I've been vegan for 42 years, where I remember the years when people didn't know what the word meant.
That's right.
And so I hesitated to even say that I was vegetarian. And so it's very refreshing now to be able to say, I'm vegetarian, and someone will go, oh, like a vegan? Oh, that's great. I know my sister is a vegan. Or they always know somebody else who's a vegan, and they try to relate to you in that way.
That's so true. And then they might also read the menu for you. Oh, you can eat that. I don't know, it was about 10 years ago. I was single, and I took some intensive ballroom dancing classes, like 2 months every day. And I was dancing, and you'd meet all kinds of people. And I wasn't there to meet anyone. I was there to learn to dance. And I think there were certainly a lot of people there that wanted to meet other people. And I found that if I thought a guy wanted to get to know me better, I would say right away, I'm vegan.
Well, one of the stories in my book, Victoria Moran, she made a point of telling the man who's now her husband right away that she's vegan because she wanted to get it out there in the open. And I think for a lot of people that works. You know, this is who I am. It's a huge part of who I am. I'm vegan. And these days, as soon as somebody gets my last name, they can Google me on the Internet, and then they find out I'm an author. And, well, it's not a secret for long that I'm vegan.
Right. Yeah. I want to get back to that funny topic of what goes in and what comes out. And the flatulence, but not only that, but smells. And you mention bringing having the person you're dating maybe bring a toothbrush with them because there's this idea of not wanting to kiss someone who eats meat. There was an article or something went around maybe like 7 or 8 years ago in Australia, I think it was, where these people were talking about how they could not be involved. They were vegans and they would not kiss someone who ate meat because it tasted so bad. And as a result, I was interviewed on Geraldo to talk about vegans dating meat eaters. But there is definitely something to the tastes and smells a body will have based on the food we eat.
Yeah, so that's what inspired my top 9 ways to get dumped by a vegan chick.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's written slightly humorously, it does make you think. So the number 2 reason is kiss her after eating meat without brushing your teeth. Well, it's amazing how many non-vegan men have read this book and have told me they never even really thought about that.
Right. They don't, yeah. Well, that's why you're here, so that they will think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of them just skip down to number 9, have silk sheets on your bed that coordinate with your wool blanket, down comforter, and feather pillows. And they go, wow, I thought it was all about the food. Now
right.
What am I going to do?
Yeah, I liked some of those tips about maybe making some food and wrapping it up in, what was it? Looking for that here. I liked it very much.
If you're
much.
Trying to keep the vegan woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can wrap up a food gift in anything. Let's see. It says here, in a scarf of her favorite color instead
right.
of using
yeah.
wrapping paper.
Yeah, I like
shows
that
your creativity
uh-huh.
and concern for environment, but make sure the scarf is not made of animal products such as silk or wool.
It's all about connecting the dots and paying attention. And, you know, whether I think I don't want to make a global statement, but many people that are vegan think about a lot of things because they realize, especially if they weren't vegan from birth, they realize that they kind of were sleepwalking for a while and then had this epiphany, and then you want to apply it to everything in life. A lot of people just aren't paying attention.
Well, a lot of that is American culture.
Absolutely.
That a lot of people seriously believe that food comes from a store and it comes neatly packaged and they don't think beyond that. Where did it come from before that? It was actually a living, feeling animal before it became a package you bought at the store.
Right.
And so we talk about that a little bit in the book. Would you rather be with somebody who knows where his food comes from? One of my friends bought a whole cow and had it slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
Would I rather be with him? And, you know, he picked one cow, and he's got 3 years worth of meat. Or would I rather be with somebody who has no idea and just picks it up off the store shelf? Well, maybe those aren't the only 2 options, but what if I fell in love with the guy who bought the one cow?
Yeah. Okay, all kinds of choices and things to think about. Let's just, we just have a few more minutes left. Let's just talk about food, because that's what this show is all about. It's all about food. And do you have some favorite date food?
I have a lot of favorite date food.
Mm-hmm.
There are 51 great recipes in Dating Vegan's Recipes for Relationships, and each one of those were created for a particular person that I was dating or supplied by a pair of people who shared their story with us. And so I'd have to say probably my favorite recipes are the cookie recipes. And that's because cookies are such a universal thing. There are so many people who love cookies. They're easy to transport. They're easy to make a nice little package to give to someone as a gift. I've got chocolate macadamia nut cookies that are just completely decadent but easy to make. And so I've got to say that's definitely one of my favorites. But you can't live on just desserts, even if you're like me and eat dessert for breakfast. You still need some real food in there. So I think my favorite ones are the ones from Brad Holdren's story, because he challenged me to make him like Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so I
love
hid
that
Brussels
one.
Sprouts mm-hmm. in everything I made for him, and he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Brussels sprout curry with red quinoa, and we had a soup. It was a mushroom soup, and it had Brussels sprouts in it, and a veggie pie with Brussels sprouts in it. And it could have been any vegetable. It didn't have to be Brussels sprouts. But anyone who challenges me that way, I really enjoy someone who presents a great challenge.
It's funny that you bring up Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts. But I remember maybe like 20 years ago, I was at a friend's house. We were all together for Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving of all things. And one of my friends brought Brussels sprouts as a dish. And a bunch of us, we were all looked at her like, oh, Brussels sprouts, what's wrong with you? It was so not cool, and I didn't think I liked them at all. And I have really grown up quite a bit since then because I love Brussels sprouts. And thank you for joining me, and it's all about food.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
And where can people find more about you? Do you have a website, or they just get your book, Dating Vegan's Recipes for Relationships?
Well, the easiest thing to do is to buy my book, because you learn a lot about me in it. If you go to AmericanVegan.org, you can click through to a Dating Vegan's webpage as well.
Okay, great.
And you can order the book there.
AmericanVegan.org, that's the American Vegan Society, of course. Thank you again, and have a really happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. I'm Karen Hartgless. You're listening to It's All About Food. I wanted to mention, go to my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. And if you're still on the fence about what to make for Thanksgiving, we have a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration feast with 7 luscious recipes. So I hope that you check that out, responsibleeatingandliving.com. We're going to take a break and then come back, and I'll be talking with Terry Hope Romero with her new cookbook, Vegan Eats World.